Blog Talk Radio.
Things, but we use it
for hunting, we go off-road, and also for CERT, Community Emergency Response Team. So I have the best stuff in there. Now, I pay for this stuff out of pocket. It's not like, you know, the county or the city reimburses me for anything that I buy for the truck. Like, in an example, we had a gentleman last year that had dementia and wandered away from his wife. And it was very frigid. I knew personally, I wasn't at liberty to say anything, that the guy, it was going to be a recovery simply because of the weather. I mean, it was brutally cold. So I had two other rescue members or members of the search team in my truck. And the guy watched me run into a pole. I'm looking in the opposite direction. Then he tells me, "Oh, well, I thought you'd seen the pole." Okay. Well, you know, not to be sarcastic or not to blame him for my inattentiveness, I said, not a problem. I was planning on getting the truck fixed anyway, and I did. I had another issue with the truck that needed to be repaired. So at any rate, it went into the shop, got it inspected. This is in January, mind you. And then it went to the body shop to be painted with bedliner because, you know, it's a truck that we use for, you know, it's heavy duty. It's heavy duty anyway. And I could have resprayed it with, acrylic, you know, some sort of heavier than standard automotive paint coating. That's the word that was escaping me. So at any rate, I take it over to the guy. He sprays it with the Herculiner, bed liner. Looks great. And undercoating, you know, sprayed the brake pads and everything. So that's a mess. So we got to pull those off and replace those. And so I went back to the body shop because the batteries were discharged. Now, the batteries that were in the truck are the same batteries that the police use, UPS, USPS, you know, heavy duty, they're AGMs, so they're step up from lead acid battery, and they're manufactured by Penn Manufacturing in Pennsylvania, DECA. Yeah, I've been using DECA for years, but I've been using their lead acid brand, not these batteries, which are their you know, not state of the art, but definitely top of the line. Long story short, I go over there, and while my partner is talking to one of the managers in there, supervisor, service writer, you know, whatever you want to call him, I did an inventory of the truck. Tons of stuff missing, broke, whatever, as I well suspected. So I popped the hood, and when I popped the hood, my AGMs at $250 a piece are gone. I kid you not. I mean, I was livid. I was already angry because the guy had the truck so long. Then he had the sheer unmitigated gall to tell me that I owed him monies that he, under no circumstances, was going to give. We would have just gone to court. I mean, it would have ended up in court. So I had to run down to NASA in Hampton to pick up some generators that I purchased for one of my vacation homes or the bed and breakfast. I'm not sure which one I was going to go in, but I'd probably go in the bed and breakfast because if we're down there, we have guests and we're going to be working on a place, they definitely need a generator, backup generator. So I thought I had two, but apparently from the freaking thing that I looked at, the receipt, it looks like it's only one now, which is disappointing. So that means that it has to be taken back and forth from my primary residence to the bed and breakfast at the vacation home, you know. So at any rate, so I talked to the guy who was down there at NASA in Hampton, Virginia, and he, "Oh, yeah, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it, blah, 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 blah." So it's Monday. He tells me to give him until Monday. So I respectfully text him, no answer. Call him, he doesn't answer. And see, I this is where, you know, why the court systems are clogged up and why people get in conflicts. He knows. I mean, he said it right in front of me. So, you know, unless he's willing to he's not going to be provided with the opportunity because I have an appointment after the show. And then after that, I asked my contact, a local precinct, if she could have an officer meet me at the location, take a report, and then they go back to the magistrate and give him the arrest warrant for this clown. Because the guy is not going to say in my face that the guy that took the batteries in the body shop did not take them, because I was standing there when he called them and asked why he replaced the batteries in my truck, AGM, top of the line, with cheap generics that couldn't have cost him more than $70, $80, $90 at the top. So if he paid $90 for those batteries, he's a damn fool. Excuse my French, but I could say a lot more colorful things, but not on the airwaves. So that's where we stand this morning, and it's unfortunate that people place you in this position, you know, because they want to be unethical or dishonest. I mean, he had absolutely no authorization to replace anything in my truck, none whatsoever. And then on top of that, add insult to injury to replace it with the cheapest things that he could possibly find, because you know what the batteries were, or whoever looked at the batteries, one of the guys in there, you know, probably one of the owners or something, you know. First of all, if you're painting a truck, why are you looking under the hood in the first place? So, you know, it's crazy. We'll take care of it later today. That I assure you. We have, we lost Aretha Franklin last week. I don't quite know what happened. I guess she, you know, we lost her in the middle of the week sometime after the show. She was in hospice. I by that I mean she was probably at home, which is the best place to be. You know, most doctors, certainly I would, and I have a friend of mine. She said the same thing. She's in utter total agreement with me that, you know, I don't want any extra care. You know, there's a I don't know if it was Pew or another study that came out some years ago. It said that towards the end of a person's life, I don't know what the exact percentages or, you know, the numbers, is when they incur the most money for their health care, because, you know, they're trying to extend their lives or whatever. Don't extend my life at all. I mean, when it's time for me to go, I want to go. It's that simple. Do not resuscitate. I have to, as a matter of fact, I have to figure out a way to either get that on my license or somewhere in my effects in the event that I'm in, you know, some sort of accident where, you know, obviously I'm either incapacitated or deceased, and emergency personnel, it's readily available to them. You follow what I'm saying, when they're trying to determine my identity or that sort of thing, or in the hospital or wherever, you know. Ideally, I'd like to die at home with my loved ones surrounding me. You know, it always doesn't happen according to plan. You know, death comes when death comes. So, yeah, I was just saying that to say that she died the way she lived, on her own terms. We also lost Nobel Prize-winning diplomat Kofi Annan, former UN secretary, Ghanaian native, a man of tremendous stature, diplomatic skills, transcendent figure on the world stage, whose death was here, at least here in the United States, was somewhat overshadowed by Aretha Franklin's death. Over the weekend, we lost Senator John McCain of Arizona, and also a pivotal figure here in the body politic, par for course, jumped the brain dead comic Carnival Bark, a.k.a. Clueless Clown, decided that he would be acknowledging a rival, a foe, if he lowered the flag to half mast, which, you know, he didn't do for whatever reason, and or only did it for a brief period of time. So, you know, this is keeping in character with this clown. You know, where he doesn't want to acknowledge anyone, or, you know, he wants to be disrespectful. You know, really sophomoric, infantile. So it's not behavior that you expect from, you know, not only a person occupying the presidency of the United States, but a 70-some-odd-year-old person. You know, you figure, but I know a lot of 70-year-old fools. I really do. I honestly know a lot of 70-year-old fools. I absolutely do. So, you know, and you know what? The bottom line is this. If you're a young fool, but somewhat fortunate, you will more than likely turn out to be a very old fool. But, you know, unless, you know, things change. And people can, you know, reinvent themselves. Don't get it twisted. I mean, I'm a great fan of reinvention. I absolutely believe that everyone has the capacity for reinvention, you know. But this guy, you know, he's setting his, you know, his anachronistic ways. You know, he is what he is, and you know, the time will come where we get rid of him, and we hope that time is sooner than later. So everything has been going pretty fast in that respect. I mean, we've seen Manafort, his former campaign chair, convicted on 8 counts, the one holdout juror was a Trump fan, didn't want to convict him on all 18 counts. And then his personal attorney, Michael Cohen, pled guilty to a slew of serious charges involving tax evasion and, you know, money laundering and all sorts of things. Now, his supporters and others are still saying, well, you know, it doesn't prove that he conspired or, you know, colluded with the Russians, which is, you know, I was going to say something, you know, quite frankly, forgot that I was on the air, but the handwriting's on the wall. It was obvious that he knew about the meeting, that he, in large measure, controlled the narrative. And, you know, he was caught on tape. I mean, I watched it. I was sitting there watching. I don't know why we have to discount what we hear or what we see. He said to the Russians, I listened to this broadcast, this speech when he was still running in campaign mode. You know, to the Russians, if you can hear me, please find the 30,000 Hillary emails, blah, 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 blah. So I don't know, you know, everybody says, well, that was just tongue-in-cheek. No, he wasn't. And the Russians probably did it. And they probably hacked into the DNC. They hacked into RNC as well. You know, he's sitting there, you know, telling another big one about, well, you know, the Republicans had better, no, they didn't. They didn't have any better security than the Democrats did. And they hacked into the Democrat, but the Republican database as well. But they felt that at this point they wanted to tip the election to Trump simply because they could manipulate him easier. And that's what they did. I mean, there's no ambiguity in what occurred. So what we're confronted with is an unindicted co-conspirator sitting in the White House. Now, not since 1973 have we been confronted with such a situation. But the added problem is that we have a complicit, well, and they're saying that they're not. If you look at history, they're saying that the Congress, the lower house, which is the House of Representatives, did not vote on articles of impeachment against Richard Nixon. So there might be some corollaries there where, you know, we're looking at it through the prism of contemporary times. You know, when you're in history, you know, you don't oftentimes you don't have the benefit of hindsight, you know, because you're living it. So we can't really tell. This is definitely history. You know, I'm middle-aged, so, you know, it's a possibility that I will see how it is reflected in the future. But, you know, we don't have the benefit of what we do, really, you know, in the Nixon impeachment, not so much the Clinton impeachment, where Nixon had the comments. And, well, Nixon was a lawyer. And see, this is the problem with Trump. He's not a lawyer, and he doesn't listen. You know, that beyond all his other deficits, you know, those are the two other big problems with him. That, you know, he doesn't take advice. He knows everything, and that's fine. You know, he's going to know everything right into the pokey. So, let's take a break really quickly. And we'll come back on the other side of the break.
Looking for a hit multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mo, blurs, and spots that are tight, hot, and funky. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verve. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on popular culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
And we're back. Marketing Public International, New York. This was yours truly, Dennis Shipman. It's 10:52 a.m. Monday, 8/27/2018. 74 and cloudy here in Brooklyn, New York. And I was stunned. You know, I was reading through this email I just authored, and I was just stunned by the sheer brazen audacity of people, man. I mean, how do you? I mean, I don't get it. You know, I don't know how people. And I, you know, I'm a trained social and behavioral scientist. I just don't get that. You know, I don't get how people think they can get away with some of the things that they do. You know, it's just brazen, and that's the only way you can characterize it. Because if you know you got to get caught, why do it? You know, I guess. And that doesn't only, you know, I'm not talking about criminals. I'm talking about, you know, by ordinary, I mean people that would ordinarily be law-abiding. I mean, how do you figure that you could take somebody's truck for that amount of time, steal parts out of it, and the person is not going to know? I mean, it's just incredible. Anyway, let me forget about it. So at any rate, I feel like a lot of pundits do, and I've been saying this for a while. Omarosa Manigault, the sister, and I cringe, you know, to call her a sister, but the black person, you know, ostensibly black person that occupied a relatively high-level position in the White House and was subsequently fired. You know, she was a gossip and, you know, basically a busybody that, you know, Trump only liked because she was relatively attractive. And she you know, she provided Trump with information that, you know, he used to, for whatever reason, you know, boistered whatever claim that he had at the time. Kelly never liked her. Kelly is a racist also. His chief of staff, former general, Marine Corps, U.S. Marine Corps. And I think that he wanted to get rid of her coming in the door. You know, I heard a lot of negatives about her, that she wasn't well-liked and this, that, or the other. You know, well, gossips typically aren't well-liked. Because, you know, if they'll talk about their business, they will definitely talk about yours. So, at any rate, she's been on the show's talk show circuit promoting her tell-all. And, Trump, true to character, you know, came out and attacked her, called her, you know, a lowlife, a dog. And, you know, this is the problem I have now, you know. We can punish her, you know, in our community. You know, we have taken her black card for the time being. But under no circumstances am I going to allow a black woman, you know, to be called a dog. That's not it. Because they would not tolerate anyone, especially a black person, calling a white woman a dog, you know, especially when you're occupying. And this is why, you know, Barack Obama said last week. I don't know if you got a chance to, and we'll post it online. So just go to our website, www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Again, that URL is www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net or www.eastnewyorkmanagement.com. And we'll post the speech where, you know, Obama finally says, hey, man, you guys knew this guy should be in office. You know, almost, I wasn't, you know, near tears or anything like that. I think I was more angry, and those that listen to the show on a routine basis, we're not taking calls this morning, so, you know, forgive me. Not that we get many anyway. But the point that I'm trying to make is that, it was a lot of African-American males that supported this client. And I'm like, at what point is your tolerance level for insult reached? I guess that's the point I wanted to make. That's the phrase which was escaping me. I mean, the guy is an unabashed bigot. I mean, I guess we have the benefit of knowing him from New York. But I think that it was other people that had bully pulpits, other persons in the African-American community that said that, the same thing, you know. I know Sharpton said it. I don't know about the other guy, the Black Eagle. I'm not a fan of his, and he has left terrestrial radio. He's now strictly on Sirius. And there's a couple other black hosts on Sirius that have said the same thing, you know, especially from the New York market, where we have, basically, you know, yelled through the rafters to no avail that, hey, this guy is a racist. You know, we need to not indulge him, so that's where we are. So let's see what happens next week, Monday. We'll be back, same bat time, same bat channel. You keep it tuned every day, 10:30 a.m. for Marketing Pulpit. We come to you from different cities with different hosts and different information. Have a great week.
a part of the plan. Yeah, it's no coincidence. Things ain't making no sense. Like shit.